With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Along to the Wise Men Say preview podcast as we look forward to Sunderland's game against Bristol Rovers on Saturday, 3 p.m. at the Stadium of Light. My name's Frankie Francis. I'm joined in the studio tonight by Richard Easterbrook.
Good evening.
And Matthew Keeling.
Good evening.
How are you doing, chaps? Everyone all right?
Yeah, good.
Good, 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 good.
I'm massively out of breath.
Yeah, you had a run here from the city centre, but you feeling all right? Are you up for the challenge of the next, you know, however many minutes talking about Sunderland?
Yeah, I'll be able to gather my breath as time goes on, but yeah, I'm currently heart rate is in the hundreds.
Well, okay, well, hopefully that'll settle by the end of the podcast. I guess we could maybe first start by looking back at the game on Tuesday evening. It was against Walsall again, but
again,
this time at home in the FA Cup, and we got beat, Matthew.
Yeah. Poor all across the board, really. Mm. But personally, not too upset about it. Really.
Yeah. There was a moment when we were pushing in the last 5-10 minutes and looked like we might get a goal. Was there anything in the back of your mind thinking, please don't score?
I kind of said to me, mate, when we went 1-0 down, if we're not going to score two, I'd rather we didn't bother.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, an extra half an hour of extra time, apart from the fact it was absolutely freezing, just wasn't what anyone needed. Yeah. An extra half an hour playing, it was pleased we didn't bother, basically.
Yeah. I mean, there was the carrot of Bolton away in the next round, Richard. Are you a traditionalist? Do you think we should have, well, we didn't get a performance, but we certainly put a strong side out, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I love the FA Cup, you know, despite all its recent kind of devaluing by the clubs in and around the Football League. And I think FA Cup third round day is the best day of the season. And a nice little trip down to Bolton, albeit not being the most like kind of grand fixture. It's still, you know, an opportunity to get into that fourth round pot. And I think it's an opportunity missed. But on the other side of things, it could be a silver lining in the fact that the games are really starting to stack up now.
Yeah,
we need a good run of league fixtures to get that back on track.
Yeah,
so it could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, there was a result that went our way in the league on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Was Portsmouth got beat of Charlton, didn't they? Would you have taken that before kickoff?
Yeah, I think it was the most important game of the night, to be honest.
Mm.
And we weren't even in it. I think if you'd have said we're going to lose, but they're going to lose as well, I'd have taken that. Yeah.
Yeah. Incidentally, this was the first time we'd been knocked out in the second round of the FA Cup since the last time we were in the third division.
Wow. Mm.
That's staff.
There we go. We'll win the league then.
Yeah, who knows? There's some other cup news came out in the last couple of days, and that's all to do with the Checker Trade draw against Newcastle. Now that was drawn, we were going to play their under 23s at home, and they have announced the date and time definite for that. It will be the 8th of January, 7:45 kickoff. Tickets from £15, which has caused a little bit of discussion online, Richard. First of all, for the draw, how do you see Sunderland playing this one? Just going at it as we have done every other game in the Checkered Trade, I guess.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, it always has been kind of a first team minus two or three.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to approach it exactly the same way, you know, regardless of the fact that it is Newcastle United. They're not going to bring a full strength team. They can't bring a full strength team anyway.
Mm.
We've got to approach it the same way as we have against Notts County, the same way we have against the other teams that we played in the Cup.
And now it's not just a normal game, even though it's under 23 side, Matthew. And there's going to be, passion's running high.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the Stoke under 21s went to Port Vale, and there was a lot of bother went on there. And I think that's an indication as well for me, though, that the under 21s, isn't it, actually? Under 21 level. Port Vale, we played them and they were not great. They just comfortably beat Stokes under 23s. And I think if we play similar teams to what we've been fielding, I think we should have no trouble with that. I think Newcastle may bring a couple of more experienced players in who maybe don't get first team minutes at the minute, like Shelby. but I think if we, like Richard says, if we play a strong team without going overboard, I think we should be fine. We can take no chances, though, because if we lose, that's horrific.
Yeah, it's almost to some extent. Oh, that is. We should explain what that is. Now, Richard has changed his ringtones on his phone to Alan Partridge noises, and that was Richard's phone going off in the background there. That's fine. I tried to do it, but I couldn't get the app because I haven't got an Android.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's been really, really annoying my family back home. Every time it goes off now,
What was I speaking about? The gate.
The gate on the night, I guess.
So it looks like we're going to give Newcastle fans the chance to watch the game. Up to 5,000 at the moment is what they are allowed. And on the Sunderland tickets, there's been a price of £15 put on that. Richard, first of all, your thoughts on Newcastle fans in the thousands coming to essentially what is to them an under-23 game?
I think, first of all, I disagree with the 5,000 figure. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, I think it should be what we have been selling as an official capacity for the Trek of Trade games, which is the East Stand plus whatever capacity they've got, which isn't that many. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the terms we should have been putting to Newcastle. We shouldn't be saying, yes, we've got a 48,000 capacity stadium, so therefore you can have 4,800 fans. Mm-hmm. Because realistically, we're not going to sell 48,000 plus, so we're not going to have the infrastructure to handle that amount of Newcastle fans through the door, I don't think.
On a Tuesday evening.
Midweek as well.
Yeah, like. I think the discussions will be going on behind closed doors in terms of safety advisory group.
Yeah.
They hold a lot of sway because they're the leading stakeholders in council, police, ambulance service, things like that. You know, they're all institutions that we have to put money in their pockets for, and 5,000 fans on a Tuesday night is not ideal.
See, Richard, you've worked on big events in the Northeast and the sporting calendar. How important is the word from the police on this?
They could
just say no supporters at this point in the day, could they?
They can. It would still be Sunderland's decision. But in the past, whatever the SAG have said, that's what the company have gone with. That's what the organisers, as in Sunderland, have gone with. It does hold a lot of sway. As unpopular as it has been in the past, such as decisions to cut Man United's away following because of persistent standing and bad behaviour, things like that. You know, the club might not agree with it, but they have to follow suit with that because they know they've got the intel on the ground. They know, you know, how the fans will be travelling to the game and what kind of threat there would be on the night in terms of potential threats. They know how to handle the crowd control on the evening as well. You know, they talk quite big about sterile zones, things like that. And it's made a little bit more difficult by the fact that now in the upper tier of the North Stand, it does make things a little bit more logistically difficult, whereas in the past it was quite easy enough to have them in the South Stand.
Well, they did put the Walsall fans there on... In the South, I know there was about 50
them. They've done that a couple of times in the Trek of Trade.
And they put Notts County fans in the North, lower North.
Yeah.
So, obviously they can't, but not 5,000 of them. So, there can't be 5,000 of them. But for me, I wouldn't be surprised to that end up somewhere around 1,500.
Right. Let's move the conversation on to the ticket and price. And this has started a conversation, especially on social media, with previous games being only £3 per ticket. There is going to be extra costs involved, like Richard was alluding to, the whole SAG meeting, which will take place and look at what's in front of them and then price accordingly, I guess. But, Matthew, you haven't got a problem with the ticket price.
Not for me. I think I've had a few people... not come at me, but mention it on Twitter.
Waiting outside your house. Yeah. There's that guy who said it was okay.
Saying that why couldn't we just do it for £3 a ticket? I think you can't. And I think not only just the cost, I think they're going to want to keep any sort of, well, there's going to be some kind of altercations you would imagine, but they want to keep that to a minimum. And I think, I don't know if they're using it as a, to put some people off, maybe thinking, oh, I'll not bother now. Yeah. Keep the crowd down to a certain extent. I don't think they're doing it to make money, because I think if they were going to do that, they would have just charged 25 quid. Because they could quite easily have done that. They charge what they want, basically.
Yeah. £3 for the games anyway was a kind of goodwill gesture.
Yeah, like, it's a first team competition for us. You get £3. I mean,
yeah,
same price as a program.
Yeah.
Cheaper than a pint.
It is, yeah, you're right. Cheaper than a pint. What's your views on it, Richard?
I didn't actually realise it was £3 last time for the Notts County game, so I got a free ticket off my mate who had to drive to Gateshead to get it from his house. And when I picked up the ticket, it was like £3.
It was £10 on the door, though.
Yeah,
so that makes me feel a little bit. I also got a parking ticket, but we're not going there, which means the kind of net cost of the ticket was £38.
Yeah.
Which
that shows how much you love Sunderland, though.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to pay it.
What about the £15 for the ticket? Then are you all right with that?
I think that's about right. Yeah, as Matthew says, we could have charged 25 and still got a respectable gate on the night. £15 is a good price point.
We'll move the conversation on again. There's some breaking news in the last hour or so, the last couple of hours, that the South Stand has officially been renamed the Roker End. That was the one I voted for. What did you guys vote?
I did, yeah.
And for the Roker End?
Roker End, yeah.
Richard, did you abstain from the vote?
I abstained, yeah, just on a technicality. It's not the Roker End.
You should take the roof off it now, though.
Well, really. The North Stand, maybe the North East corner, that would be more Roker.
Right,
maybe
okay.
The East Stand is probably... Yeah. Point to point closer to Roker,
yeah.
Than the South Stand. The South Stand is furthest away from Roker, so I'd call it. I'd
not Roker End.
Possibly the Colliery End, but just felt a bit. It felt a bit.
Well, I think what never happened with the Stadium of Light was any kind of continuing kind of link from Roker Park, was there?
No.
There was complete, you know, new badge, new stadium. Everything was different except for Peter Reid's team at the time, I guess. But I'm happy with the link back to the Roker End. I never saw the Roker End in its glory, apparently. Yeah. You know, well, I don't think any of us will have, because it was in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it? And before that, when it was a huge stand, and when I started going in the early 90s, it was very diminished, and it was where the away fans went.
Yeah.
And it had no roof.
Yeah.
So it was often, you know, looked at a very struck a depressing sight on a cold night, you know, in Roker. But in the years gone by, and I have actually got friends who would always go in the Roker End with their parents, and they said, you know, that's where, you know, the whole Roker Roar originated from. So, you know, a nice continuation there from a historical nod point of view.
Yeah.
And another example of the owners handing back a little bit of power, Richard, to the fans and having a bit of a say in this decision, or in fact, at all saying it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, in the past, under Murray, I remember we did a few kid votes, and there were, you could choose one of three kits, and we chose the away kit when we first moved into the stadium, and that felt quite nice. I mean, because we kind of influence it a little bit more. And
do you remember which kit that was?
It was.
Was it the blue?
It was the blue with the horizontal white and red stripe. Yeah.
Remember that?
The other choices did were it for blue and a light. I think it was a lighter blue one, and it was a green one.
I think they did it for the last A6 home kit as well.
Yeah,
because that was only going to be for one season. Because I remember them making a few mock-ups and voting for that one.
I remember seeing them on the back of the Echo, the three kits next to each other.
And how did you vote? You had to write into the Echo?
I think you had to write in. Again, I didn't vote because...
Abstained.
Stamps. Technicality.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't ask which way you voted on the European Union referendum.
Let's not. I'll remain...
He abstained.
I'll remain to keep my choices private on that one.
The club were consulting. They went through the Red and White Army for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Red and White Army are planning to put some kind of murals inside of the concourse as well, revealed recently, with captains, famous captains throughout the years. The concourses have always been the same since the place opened over 20 years ago now. So it would bring a bit more colour to it, wouldn't it, Matthew?
Yeah, it would. I think it would... Bit of character as well. I think they're very, although they've got the names of some old players around, the bars used to be names of players, didn't they? I don't know if they still are.
They used to
have
like
Bob's
flags.
Burgers Bar or something.
Yeah,
they had flags on the approach.
But
there
was kind of, like medieval times flags, wasn't
it?
Yeah. It said like Len Shackleton appearance.
Are they still there? Surely they're covered in pigeon rubbish now.
I'm not sure actually. The amount of times that you go there now and you don't actually notice what's
don't
around.
Look up, never look up. Someone said
Bear Breeze Block before.
It still is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Craigie.
It still is. Or just grey concrete. But pretty much breeze block everywhere. Mm. Except in the family zone. You know, get there 2 hours before every home game, everyone.
I know.
It's got a green floor. And there's the occasional murals of Samson and Delilah on the wall as well. I've got the PlayStations on the wall in there. But apart from that, everywhere else, it's just the occasional, I don't know, betting poster or something like that. There's nothing around the concourse. But I don't think that's unusual. If you visit other stadiums, have nothing like that.
No, it's just the identical concourse, really.
Going to Man City a few seasons ago, they've got lots of stuff around their ground.
They probably have like sort of raw shops or something in theirs, do they?
Yeah. Well,
Laser Pride, Quest or something. Yeah, yeah.
Pride Park has a Greggs on the corner, which is something we've...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Never done, and it's something that we should do.
We should do, yeah.
That's an official. That's an official.
The Hawthorns does as well in the family zone.
Did they?
West Brom, yeah. But did the last time I was.
I remember
there.
When the stadium opened and all the corners were called the McDonald's enclosures. Yeah. And I thought there would be McDonald's inside them. There was not.
There was not, no.
In fact, instead, we had to just have McMurray's. He should have totally coined in on that. Yeah. But he didn't.
Great idea.
Let's look ahead towards the weekend's fixture then, lads. We are playing Bristol Rovers, 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Bristol have had today they've announced they've sacked the manager.
Yeah.
After 4.5 years, Darrell Clarke has been sacked. Sometimes that has just two things could happen there. They have a reaction with someone new. It's a caretaker who
Oh, Marcus Stewart was there.
Unless this has changed in the last few hours.
No. He's been released as part of the deal as well. Yeah. Oh, right. He was the assistant manager, but he's left. So it's their first team coach, Graham Coughlin.
Yeah, so essentially they could be on the ropes. Mm. You know, if we get an early goal, you would think they would roll over, if you like. Let's have a look at what else they've been up to. They've only they've lost 7 of their last 10 games. They lost on the weekend, which obviously started off this sacking. They got to be 4-0 off Doncaster at home at the weekend. Currently 21st, which means they're 4th of bottom in the relegation zone in this league. Only won 4 games all season, drawn 5, lost 12 on 17 points. Incidentally, though, they've only scored 17 and only conceded 25. 25 is not bad. I think we must be on, not shy of that.
Yeah.
About 20 or something like that. Mm. But they're 25, only conceding 25 and they get beat 12 times. They must have been down by a few goals. Obviously, the weekend's result didn't help them.
No.
But, you know, on paper, as we're looking at it right now, as we do for most of these games, they don't concede a lot, but they are very vulnerable, especially without a manager, Richard.
Yeah, well, Darrell Clarke led them from League Two into the Conference and back out again, up through to League One, and they had a couple of good seasons, consolidation, yet it all kind of fell off this season. And, you know, for whatever reason that is, we've got to take full advantage of that. And the fact that there's going to be so much uncertainty there, they've not been playing as well as they should have been. Their top scorer has got 4 goals.
Yeah. Ollie Clarke, one to watch out for. Mm. We've got 4 goals, you know.
We've got to look at this game as being an opportunity to get back on track.
Yeah, it's been a bit higgledy-piggledy with fixtures here, there and everywhere, different cup games. You had the postponed game, which was 70 minutes in, you know, which was turned out to be a bit of a nightmare. Do you think that was a factor? Sorry to skip backwards. Was that a factor, do you think, on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think the pitch was... It'll have been like playing... Even though they didn't play one full one, it'd been like playing 2 games. The pitch was shocking.
Yeah.
And I think for it then not to count for anything, must have, like, whether psychologically you think, I've done all of that, we've gone through that game, and we might as well have just not even travelled there.
Yeah.
We were at the Beanback, back at the stadium.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was really good. I mean, as soon as the rain really started, the cameraman was having real trouble.
Did he ever do the thing with the hanky?
All the time. Yeah. He was making it worse. I don't know what he was using. He must have been using his old grandma's doily or something, because it was just getting more and more blurry and you just couldn't see a thing. Yeah. If this is our view, I don't know what
I couldn't see.
But for the rain?
The rain, because it was sideways rain as well. It was horrible. And Maguire's goal, no one really realised what was going on, because you spend that much time just not getting hit in the face by hailstone, it turned into as well.
No roof.
The one noticeable thing we saw on the TV was that the pitch looked to be a bit downhill as well. Like, we were attacking
the open end. The pitch, yeah.
And how's that all right? Surely that's not okay.
Because you could see sponsor boards, and they were going across a level, and it was getting higher and higher as it got to the Sunderland end. And I thought, that's going to be a real factor in the second half. We're going to be playing up that.
Yeah.
And there's that horrible bit on the left flank, which is where the ball was just holding up every time.
Yeah.
And we were having real trouble with that in the first half. And obviously, it just got faster.
I mean, we were watching the players warm up, and McLaughlin was warming up, and bounced the ball and it just
didn't bounce
splattered
back
on the floor. The referee came over and the keeper was going, I just bounced it and caught it. So you didn't. I've just watched you do it.
They wanted it on. They've got another game down there. But my point was, that didn't help. Then we had the FA Cup game. So Saturday is, we find ourselves a couple of games behind in the league now. Mm-hmm. We're down to third now because of games in hand. We need to get back to winning ways on Saturday with a good home win and a strong side out again, but hopefully more of a performance than Tuesday.
Yeah, I think if you could choose a game to have, I would choose probably this. I know a great deal about Bristol, but as we've gone through the form, I would choose a game like this at home. An early goal, as you say.
An early goal, another 3-0 at half-time situation
A few goals again as well, I think, just to get everyone back. Portsmouth have just lost, so there's a real chance now. If we win our games in hand, we're 1 point behind, and we've got to play them soon as well.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so that's Richard's phone going off again.
Partridge again. sorry, I've lost.
We'll get back on track with things on Saturday with 3 points against Bristol Rovers. We've got Gooch coming back into the side. Matthews as well, hopefully coming back in.
I hope so, because I think
we really missed him on
Tuesday.
You
really miss him, and I think I fell for Luke 09 because he's obviously never played fullback before.
No.
Or knows what a fullback is by the looks of the performance.
No one came out of Tuesday night with any kind of accolade.
I think, to be fair, he did about as well as you could. He didn't do anything wrong.
No.
But he was so uncomfortable playing there. It was quite obvious.
So that would help. News: Duncan Watmore will be in the squad today. Do you think that's too soon, or do you think it's long time coming, Richard?
I think it's too soon, but we're at the stage of the season where we're going to start needing, especially those forward players. I mean, Sinclair's not looking to be on top of confidence at the moment.
I don't think it helped on Tuesday, any of the fans who jeered him when he went off. That's not good.
We discussed that on the reaction pod the other night. That's not clever.
Watching him for 80-odd minutes against Notts County the other week, that could have been a real opportunity for him to get back on track. And with the penalty notwithstanding, he didn't really do that much to convince me that he should be in the team.
He does play well sometimes with Maja and Gooch as well, I've noticed. So those are on the starting line. Would you start with two up front at the home of the weekend?
Yeah, I think I would.
With Sinclair Maja then, do you think?
I suppose it would be. I think Maguire plays well up front, to be fair, but when he's played up front, he's usually on his own.
I would tend to disagree with you a little bit, because that last game he played up front by himself must have been the last home league game. Who was that?
He didn't. It was against Barnsley.
Yeah, and he kind of kept running offside.
Yeah, he got through a few times.
Sluggish a little bit.
Quick enough.
By that point of the game. But I think Sinclair Maja, I'd like to see them more.
I think that needs to develop a bit. I'd like to, we need to get Maja boiled down. We need to get him tied down to a
deal. Maja soup.
And the longer he's playing for us and playing well for us in our first team, the longer he stands a chance of signing that deal.
Still no news on that. Although there was some whispers yesterday, wasn't there, saying, I think Stuart Don might have said, or someone from the club said, they're hopefully nailing him down by Christmas, was it?
Was it Donald come out and said that they've told him and Gooch have told him that they do want to stay? Is that right?
Well, they've said, the players have said they want to stay.
Well, either players, or I presume the players, have either told him or indicated to him that they do want to stay, but until they're signed, it doesn't.
I guess that largely boils down to what division.
Have you stopped boiling everything down?
Yeah, full of boiling.
Honeyman has got activated another year of his contract.
Fine, yeah.
So that's like another. That's one to kind of not worry about, I think, for now, because that was he was another one running out of contract rapidly. Yeah. So
I think it shows that we need Madger firing on all cylinders now. And I wouldn't say we've become reliant on him, but the fact that he's roughly one goal a game, and if he doesn't play, we don't score. Mm. That's fairly telling.
I would have Kim Yoker around the squad, me. Because he's so unpredictable. He doesn't know what he's going to do next, so the defenders haven't got a clue.
All right, other thing that might be happening tonight, well, it is happening tonight, there's a little documentary coming out about Sunderland called Sunderland Till I Die. Comes out midnight tonight, available on Netflix. Now, wise men say gaffers, Stephen and Gareth, feature quite heavily, apparently, in that. There was a link going around on the dark web. It got leaked, apparently. I abstained from watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm saving myself for the weekend. Anyone staying up tonight to watch it?
I might watch the first one and then end up watching three or four.
There was a screening. Did any of you guys get invited to the screening?
I couldn't make it.
We're not high enough in the pecking order.
I was invited, then I was uninvited.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, it was withdrawn.
Twice uninvited. I realised other people wanted to go, and then there actually wasn't a ticket in the first place. So,
what do you think about Rich?
I was furious.
No, well, obviously, you probably want to boil down the bosses of Wiseman say, but the from a PR point of view, we had it about 20 years ago, probably more, with Premier Passions. Is this a positive thing for the football club to be shown such a bleak time in their history?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, they've not taken any. As Fullwell 73 revealed in the podcast they did with Wise Men Say last week, they didn't give Sunderland any money, so Sunderland aren't going to take any money away from this. But they have to kind of, as clinical as it sounds, they need to monetize this opportunity.
What do you mean by that?
Just make the best of the opportunities that the wider visibility will
as
will,
a brand as, yeah, as will, a club globally, because this could be an international success. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you've got to have some kind of interest in football. Which you think, you know, most countries do. A lot of big countries don't, though, you know. But there's an appetite there for this kind of thing. You know, we've seen it recently with the Manchester City thing. There was a Juventus one recently as well, I think.
Yeah, there was.
On Netflix as well. So it's going to be interesting. Are you apprehensive, Matthew, about the way the people of Sunderland are going to be shown in the spotlight? Or are you not worried at all? Do you think it's going to be all football-focused?
I think I don't know how much of it is on the football solely, but I think if people are given their views on the like the demise of the football club, shall we say?
I mean, we heard from the show producers on the Netflix special, which you can still listen to now, by the way, just find it on the podcast thread. We did hear from them that they were very apathetic of the Sunderland fans' point of view, and hopefully that's cut through. And I think it has, Richard, from what we've heard. But do you think Sunderland fans want to relive that season?
Yeah, there were times that even like in the trailer when I was starting to wince, and there's one of the chances.
There's so many moments in that season. You forget about how many bad things happened.
Even like it was the Millwall game, and Reuter made two massive errors. Their goalkeeper kicked one in, and I was laughing by the end of it. And my daughter who came with it was like, "Why are you laughing? This is like terrible. Like, you can't do anything but now." Yeah. But watching the trailer just seemed to bring back that kind of PTSD. I started to shake a little bit. So.
That's Celtic game.
You're on the phone with the doctors.
Yeah. James Vaughan stepping up to take his penalty against Celtic was
my memory. That's bigger than that. That was the first of all. That was the first time we saw Jason Steele. I remember thinking,
"Yeah,
this is our number one goalie."
Yeah.
Couldn't believe that. And then it took me about an hour and a half to. Or maybe a little bit longer to try and get home as I tried to avoid the raging street battles. And it wasn't just back lanes, it was on the main roads.
Yeah, it was just horrendous. Incredible. It was horrific. What an awful day. Just all around.
If you listen back to the pods from the start of the season in 2017, I said Jason Steele would be a brilliant signing. And I think I got a bit of praise on social afterwards.
Like, hey, plays for Premier League side now. So
well, I'd watched him for a few years again, like for Middlesbrough, and he was brilliant. I don't know what happened in those intervening years, but I mean, we're going to see.
It all stems from that Celtic game.
I think that might have been it.
It was a Celtic fan. Someone offered him out. Scared him for life. What else do we have to say? Well, we'll give a prediction for the weekend. Bristol Wolves at home, Richard. What have you got to say about that? I think it's going to happen.
I'd like it to be nice and easy, nice and straightforward. 3-0, all goals scored in the first half.
boil them down to a 3-0 victory.
Nice
at home.
And rendered.
Matthew.
5-0.
Wow.
Yeah.
This would never have happened last season.
Bristol Rovers in disarray.
Yeah.
Sunderland run right.
An early goal, and then they just collapse.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give a prediction. I'm just going to leave it like that. But I'm going to promote the other things that are happening in and around Wise Men's Say. If you missed the Malcolm Crosby podcast, they are now available. Parts 1 and 2, am I right there, guys? 1 and 2 are out now.
And the preview pod with Andy Dawson.
And a preview pod with Andy Dawson. Netflix is happening tonight. But why not whet your appetite after listening to this by going back and listening to Stephen and Gareth speaking to the Netflix producers and directors on their podcast they did with those. It's really worthwhile listening to, and certainly will get you in the mood for the documentary that comes out later this evening. If you're all going to the game, I hope you have a nice weekend of football. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.